I'm Maggie Holtzberg, folklorist with the Massachusetts Cultural Council. A key part of my job involves traveling throughout the state, where I look for people carrying on folk traditions handed down to them. Such traditions are expressed in a variety of forms, including traditional music, crafts, and dance. Whatever the folk art being researched, it's usually not long before one discovers a person who's highly respected within the tradition. In this case, that person is legendary jazz tap dancer Jimmy Slide.
Now, here's a treat we have for you. We have one of, to my notion, I think the best tap dancer in the world. And you'll think he's kind of good, too. So let's give Jimmy Slide a big round of applause. He's coming up.
Jimmy Slide's place in the history of tap is legendary. Slide is now one of the few remaining members of a fast vanishing generation of America's master jazz tap artists and teachers. A Boston native, Slide began studying in the 1940s with Stanley Brown and Eddie Schoolboy Ford at the Stanley Brown Dance Center. As a solo artist, he has performed on stage, at clubs, and in dance festivals throughout the U.S. and Europe. He's appeared in a number of movies and even worked with jazz greats such as Count Basie, Duke Ellington, and Louis Armstrong. In 1999, Jimmy Slide received a Heritage Award from the National Endowment for the Arts. Jimmy Slide is serving as a master artist in the Massachusetts Cultural Council's Traditional Arts Apprenticeship Program. On a cold evening in January, I drove to Whitman with intern Catherine Moore to observe the apprenticeship in action. Whitman is off the beaten track, some 35 miles southeast of Boston. The Whitman Academy of Performing Arts is housed in an old brick building with double doors and creaky steps. We entered the building's foyer and spotted a directory on the wall. Press-on white lettering displayed the art forms being taught: ballet, jazz, hip-hop, Irish step dancing, and modern dance. Several of these classes were underway on the evening of our visit. As we climbed the wood stairs, we heard the distinctive sound of metal tap shoes on wooden floorboards. At the top of the stairway, a long hallway led to various studio spaces. We followed the sound of the tap dancing. The lights in the studio had been left off, but there was a faint luminescence from the street lamps outside. In the dim light that filtered in, we could just make out two figures dancing in the dark. A wisp of a man stepped toward us and introduced himself as Jimmy Slide, along with his apprentice Rocky Mendez, some 50 years his junior. We spoke with Rocky first about how the apprenticeship is going.
Really, we try to do something every day, if not every other day. You know, really, we work upon each other's schedule. We don't try to inconvenience each other. Sometimes it's real late, sometimes it's early. You know, who knows? Yeah. Matters. We talk every day.
And typically, what would you do together with him? What would be a typical evening?
Dance.
I know.
No, talking. Making sure I get it. Yelling at me.
Is he tough?
Yeah, but I like it. You know, it's fun. That makes it fun. But we start off, you know, with just basics.
Which would just be, if you're a non-dancer, I wouldn't tell me what that is.
Shuffles, slaps, and then we move. Eventually, then we get into riffs. Then we go back to brushes, shuffles, slaps, and just go upon, right on around that, all that.
Rocky's been studying tap dance since he was 9 years old and started pursuing it as a passion when he was 16. Now, at age 23, he even teaches his own tap dance class at the Whitman Academy. Jimmy Slide's been mentoring Rocky for many years and began this state-sponsored apprenticeship last year. While some of the apprenticeship award winners meet only once or twice a week, Jimmy and Rocky often meet every day for several hours, sometimes starting at 1 in the morning.
We've been getting together quite often, you know, sometimes even unannounced.
That's good.
So that's a good way, yeah. But I'm enjoying, he's proven to be very, how can I say it, he's willing, and that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I don't, you know, I'm not a teacher. By the way, I'm just what you call a nudger, you know.
He told us that.
Well, that's anybody that knows me, that's what it is, you know, because teaching is one thing, but people have to want to learn.
What's it like working with a young person that does want to, that is willing to learn and work hard?
Refreshing. Exhilarating. All those things, you know, when it's like -5 out like it is tonight and has been for a while, you have to really want to come out and be around somebody. I wouldn't want to be doing something I didn't want to. And he keeps me on my toes, and he's responding. He's doing very well.
I asked Jimmy Slide about the difference between dancing in the studio and performing in front of a live audience.
Dancing is one thing, studio is one thing, mirrors another. But an audience is another part. Then you're getting into the business part of it. You have to have something to say to be in front of an audience. You have to make gestures as well as speak.
And your eyes, right?
Of course, you have to. Although you don't see anyone, take it from one who knows. I mean, when you're in front of an audience, you see nothing. Your light's coming, but they're there. Say, I know you're there. I can hear you breathing. All kind of things like that to relax yourself. So he's coming along in that, you know. Mm-hmm. That was the business that I was in for over 50 years. So I played saloons and cabarets and places where they say, bring on the girls, while you were dancing.
That's pleasant.
Well, you have to have something to reply with a smile. You don't want to lose the audience.
Yeah.
You say, yeah, here they come now. With high heels on. So you have to be adaptable. So that doesn't come easy. And I would hope not, because it took me a long time to learn that. So I'm just trying to pass some of that on to him. Mm-hmm. We'll maybe do a little time check.
Time step, shuffle, riff, brush, slap. These are the basics. I wonder aloud if it's like mastering the elements of speech in order to have a conversation.
That's what we try to have. I just try to have enough things in his library other than what he's teaching. And it's still all exercise. This is not a routine. This is not something we're setting in 1, 2, 3, 4. Just to know that when you call on it, it's there. So that's what his part is. Mm-hmm. He has to practice it and get comfortable with it and know it's there. That's all I ask of him.
Is it like a vocabulary then?
Well, it gets to be a vocabulary. First of all, it's ah-ah-goo-goo-ga-ga. Vocabulary comes later. When you know what a slap is, when you know what a riff is. What is that?
Brush, shuffle, slap.
Say it so we know.
Slap,
riff. All right, and what is it on the other foot?
Brush, shuffle, slap,
riff.
Mm-hmm. Brush, shuffle, slap, riff, riff. Toe, and foot, toe, heel.
Do that again. I like that better. Then that's pronunciation comes into a play. And enunciation. So it's still a learning process, but that's the part I want him to enjoy, so he enjoys telling you and whomever he's teaching, that's what I want, that's what I expect. That's what I want, that's what I expect. That's what I want to hear. Clearly. So you have to work on that. That's not just there. So that's what makes tap special.
Passing on his talent and historical knowledge to the next generation is one of the primary goals of this apprenticeship. It becomes clear during the interview that Rocky is learning not only how to dance, but also about the history of his art form. He can recite long lists of dancers from far before his time, not only their names, but also their importance to the art. Jimmy is also well aware of the importance of that knowledge.
I didn't invent it. The people I learned from didn't invent it. And that's what they let me know.
Yeah.
Hey, here's something you can do. if you do it good or you do it well, it'll help you get there. Mm-hmm. That's all I want him to know. Mm-hmm. Learn all you can, you know. Appreciate all dances. That's what I've learned.
Who are some of your mentors or people you looked up to when you were his age?
Bill Robinson was the first one that comes to mind because he was the world's greatest tap dancer. Mm. Then you go people that I've met along the way. I've met John Bubbles, Buckin' Bubbles.
Pamela Bates.
Very great man.
Dancer?
That's why they call him Peg Leg. Mm-hmm. Outstanding.
The Nicholas Brothers.
Where were they from?
They were from the movies. That's a great history.
Yeah.
Just like
Fred Astaire, Gene Kelly, Donald O'Connor, the Condos Brothers.
Yeah.
Stop right there. That's why I'm telling, mention many people, because it might be somebody that you've heard of. You haven't heard of everybody. You couldn't have. Name some more.
Well, we have ladies, of course. We have Eleanor Powell. And she was known as the best in her era, her time. And there was Ginger Rogers.
Who?
Ginger.
Who did she dance with?
No, she was Fred Astaire's partner in his movies, okay. His motion pictures. And Dr. Jenny Ligon, which was the first black woman to be in motion pictures and also danced alongside Bilbo Jangles Robinson. And then there was Ann Miller. And Diane, Lady Di Walker.
Oh, sure.
Which is now from Boston, Mass, you know.
Yeah.
And Chuck Green, the godfather of tap. Lon Chaney, the king of pal and rolls.
Tap dance has come a long way from its ancient roots in African and European dance traditions. It's experienced profound popularity from its vaudeville days to its near disappearance and back again. One thing is sure, though, that if the masters and soon-to-be masters continue their exchange, we'll be able to enjoy this beautiful art form for generations to come. This has been the sixth in a continuing series exploring folk arts and heritage in Massachusetts. This segment was produced with the help of intern Nolan Warden. For more information, visit massculturalcouncil.org. And if you know of a cultural treasure in your community that we should know about, please call us at 617-727-3668.
Jimmy Slide, ladies and gentlemen.
Commonwealth Journal is a weekly production of WUMB-FM Radio at the University of Massachusetts Boston. This special series was developed in cooperation with the Massachusetts Cultural Council. Funding has been provided by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Massachusetts. Our engineer is Dave Palmatier. Danielle Knight is our assistant producer. Lisa Hickler is our associate producer, and our executive producer is Patricia Monteith. I'm Barbara Neely. We'd love to hear from you. You can reach us at 617-287-6913 or on the web at wumb.org/Commonwealth Journal. Thanks again for listening, and tune in next week for Commonwealth Journal.